We have been talking about superheroes, using them as examples. I like superheroes. I grew up watching superheroes, watching them on cartoons, reading comic books. I like superheroes. I have no problem with imagining superheroes, none whatsoever. But there's something that has happened through the years. The superheroes that I grew up with have totally changed. The Superman that I grew up with and followed and read in the comic books is not the same Superman that you read about in the comic books. He's not the same guy. The Spider-Man that I read about was just a fun-loving, just snarky, hilarious superhero. He was a teenager. He was fun. That's not the same super or Spider-Man that you have today, turning gothic. Superheroes have changed. I don't have a problem with superheroes. I have a problem with the direction superheroes are going right now, and we'll explain a little bit about that in a minute. But there are people that are lifted up as superheroes, and I'm just going to warn you right now, okay? Just look at me. I'm going to say some things this afternoon that you're not going to like, okay? I'm warning you. I'm going to say some things that might make you angry at me. And can I just tell you right now, I'm saying them because I care and because you need to hear it. Okay, there's a popular superhero right now by the name of Deadpool. Can I tell you right now, that is neither super nor a hero. He is the opposite. That right there is a villain disguised as a hero. I'm warning you that right now. Like I said, some of you are like, but he's my favorite. He shouldn't be. What's happened is the heroes that I grew up with, and even those that have been around Dr. Carter's preaching, do you know who some of the heroes Dr. Carter grew up with? You might not even know who they are. The Lone Ranger. Yeah. That's the kind of superhero that Dr. Carter grew up with, and by the way, he's still a good superhero. Now we have heroes lifted in front of you like Deadpool. Not a hero. Not a hero. And I see the heroes that I grew up with, my favorite heroes, going in the direction of these over here, that they're wrong. That's why what we're talking about is what really makes a hero. What really makes a hero? I'll use Deadpool as an example because he's popular right now. Does Deadpool care about others? No. You know who Deadpool cares about? Himself. He's not a hero. He's not a hero. So we'll get off of that, and I'm going to talk about my favorite superhero. My personal favorite. Now, everybody has different superheroes for different reasons, and that's fine. And it's just silly. I don't get mad at anybody for having a different superhero, even though Brother Pounce is completely wrong. It's not Superman. I'm sorry. It's not, you know, even though he's wrong. My personal favorite superhero of all time is still Batman. It's still Batman. I've tried. I have reasons. I have reasons, and I'm going to explain them. Now, Superman is a very good example of the old Superman. I don't know what the new Supermans are doing, but I guarantee they're not as good as the old Superman. One of Superman's best qualities, I guess you would say, is that Superman was a submissive person. Superman is an alien from another planet with the strength of like 100 humans. But does he walk around like he is in control of everything? No. He is submissive. And this is what we're going to learn today, is that a hero, a true hero, submits. Now, Batman, here's why he's my personal favorite superhero. Number one, Batman has no superpowers. He is considered a superhero without a single superpower. Of course Superman's a superhero. He doesn't even have to try. He's just like, oh, I can defeat a bad guy by pushing him over. That's not suit. That's that. Batman has to work at it. Come on now. That's why he's my favorite. I like Batman because he has no superpowers. I like Batman because, you know, he trained himself. He was strong. He learned how to fight. That's good. And he was rich, and that doesn't hurt at all. That was just, we all have that secret desire to be rich like Batman, you know? I mean, that's just, you know, just part of the thing. So I like Batman, but here's one of the reasons why I like Batman. Now, once again, I'm going to say this might not be the Batman of today. This is what I grew up with. It's probably totally different right now. The Batman I grew up with submitted to authority. That meant that when Batman went after a bad guy, he went after the Penguin, after the Joker, after the Riddler, when he captured him, when he defeated him, you know where he brought that bad guy? Back to the police officers. He would normally like hang him upside down inside the prison or something, be like, little note, like, here's a gift for you, something like that. But he would take that bad guy and give him to the proper authorities. He wasn't in control. He wasn't the one that made the decisions. In fact, the original Batman had a police officer, the commissioner, Commissioner Gordon. And when Commissioner Gordon wanted help from the Batman, what would he do? He'd put up the bat signal. Batman was not what you would call a vigilante. He didn't go out there and just ignore all the laws. He didn't just ignore everything that the police officer said. He worked within the law. He was submissive. He submitted to his authorities. The one thing that's amazing about the old Batman is Batman had a what people thought of him. What is that word? Reputation, thank you. He had a reputation that Batman did not kill. He did not kill. That's not what you see today. I already know that's true. Batman didn't. Do you know why? Because Batman didn't have the right or the authority to kill someone. He didn't have that authority. And so he would capture the bad guy and bring them to the proper authorities. Because a hero submits. What I want to talk with you today about is that a lot of us battle with being submissive. I have a lot of you kids in my junior church class. I know a good number of you kids from seeing you in our Christian school. I've heard the things as I hear some of you guys going out to the bus routes. I've been around some of you guys enough to hear this. And I know that in this room, there is a problem with being submissive. Here's what I want to do with you. What I say does not matter. I could come up here and talk all day long and tell you that you need to submit to authorities. But what God says does matter. What we're going to do is I'm going to read all the odd verses. So I'm going to start reading at 1 and I will read verse 3. I want you guys together as a group to read all the even verses, okay? I will read odd verses, you will read even. The first one's mine. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. According to God's words, We are to submit ourselves to the authorities in our lives. Do you think that is true for Mr. Mike? Do you think I should submit to my authorities? Yep. I have authorities in my life that I am to submit myself to. You have authorities in your life. There is not a single human being that does not have somebody that is an authority over them. I work in junior church with a great man who owns his own business. Do you think he has authorities? He does. There are people that can walk into his business and shut it down if he doesn't do things the right way. He has authorities. We all have authorities. It says right here at the end, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and here's this last one, honor to whom honor. We are supposed to honor our authorities. Titus 3 and verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Listen to this, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Boys and girls, I'm wanting to try and help you today. I want you to listen. There is a problem in some of your lives with your tongue. You are not honoring your authorities. The Word of God said, oops, right there, to speak evil of no man. I'm going to go through four examples. And I want you to sit and listen. I want you to ask yourself, am I speaking evil of my authorities? Here's the first one we're going to look at, your principal. Now, I don't want to know what you think about your principal. Doesn't matter. Is he still in charge? Is he still your authority? They are. They're in charge of you. They are your authority. Do you have the right to speak evil of your principal? No. I have heard it. I have heard students, when they think nobody is listening, talking bad about their principal. Oh, they're over here. They're just goofing off with their friends. And they're talking about, oh, you know my principal? Oh, the principal, he called me into his office. He's such a jerk. Is this speaking kind and showing honor? No. It's speaking evil. This is wrong. This is sin. This is not how a Christian should act. The second one, the police. Guys, look at me, especially guys. In our culture, a police officer drives down the road, and for some reason, guys, you're a big man if you can do rude gestures at the police officer, if you can call him names, if you make fun of a police officer, oh, you must be a big man. Can I tell you right now, that is going to lead you down a road of destruction. He is the authority. There should never be a police officer called by any other name than sir, ma'am, or officer. I can't think of another name that they should be called. Oh, we all know, you can think right now, you've heard different names for an officer, haven't you? You've probably used them too. Stop. That is your authority. Speak no evil of any man. He is your authority, and he is to be given the honor and respect that he deserves. Now, I'll be the first to say that sometimes, do you know what an authority does? They do something wrong. Sometimes an authority does something that might not be a respectful thing, but are they still your authority? Yes, they are. How do you talk about the police when they walk or when they drive down your street at home? Do you laugh? Do you make fun of them? Do you call them names? It's wrong. Your preacher, this one hurts me. I have heard, coming from a Sunday school class, kids coming into my class, talking about the preacher or the teacher in their Sunday school class using words of dishonor, words of disrespect. Hey, this is your authority. This is somebody that God has chosen to put in charge of you. Watch your tongue. Don't speak evil of someone that is in authority over you. Don't come out of the class talking about all the things you didn't like. You know what you need to be doing? Keeping your mouth shut. I was talking with a young man, and it's comical. He's been learning some things, and obviously you can tell from what this conversation was, is that he was learning how to keep his mouth shut when he couldn't come up with anything nice to say. Have you ever heard that before? If you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all. That's a wise thing to do. And he was trying to explain to me this kid that he was playing with or something. And he looks at me. He's like, no, you know what was that kid that, this is funny to me. He looked at me and he goes, I can't think of a nice way to describe him. I don't know who this kid is. I don't know if the best, you know, some people have big features. I have a gigantinormous nose, okay? I know that. I'm like the world's only person that can pick my nose with my thumb and not even have to struggle. That's gross. I didn't wipe it on her, I promise. I know I have a big nose. So if somebody was trying to describe me, you know, it's that guy with, you know, the really big nose. Is that a kind thing to say? No, this is probably what this boy was thinking. He's like, how do I can explain? He was, I don't know, plump? You can't say that without sounding mean. I mean, it's just like he was rotund. We all know what you're trying to say. They're fat, okay? Now, like I said, I don't know. I have no idea who this kid was they were trying to describe to me. No idea. But as they thought about it, they realized that everything they could describe about this child that I might remember was probably unkind. So they looked at me and said, I can't think of a kind way to describe him. Oh, well. So you know what he did? He said nothing. He just said, you don't need to know. If I can't think of something kind to say, I'm saying nothing at all. Hey, if you've got an authority that maybe you don't like, I'm not telling you you have to like your authorities. I'm not telling you that you have to love your authorities. Although if you learn to get the virtue of love for your authorities, it'll help you with the action of your tongue. I'm not telling you that they're going to do everything right. I'm telling you that what the Scripture commands us to do is to submit to our authorities and not to speak evil of them. Here's the last and probably most important one. Your parents. Your mom and dad. Now, I am a dad. I know this. How many of you could raise your hand and say, my mom or my dad have really done something pretty dumb before? And I maybe got mad at them because they were wrong. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Do you know that as a father, I have punished my children for things they didn't even do? How many of you ever got yelled at for something you didn't do? Yeah, all of us. You know why? Because we all have parents that make mistakes. I remember one day, I have in my backyard, I have stacked up along the back wall, I have these bricks. They're used for flower beds and stuff, and I had moved them, and I have them stacked up in my backyard. My kids have found it fun for some odd reason to dig up underneath these things and create caves. Well, yeah, that's cool. But the only problem is that when you dig so much dirt away, you know what the bricks do? They fall over and they're all over my yard. And guess who has to pick them up? Me. So I went to my children, both of them, and I said, stop digging up my yard. No more digging over here. You have a sandbox. Dig in the sandbox. Well, they were obedient. And then one day I come home and I look over, and guess what I see laying all over across the yard? The bricks. And you know what I, as a holy, wonderful dad, started to do? Yeah, you got it. I started to yell. I'm in the backyard. Kids, get over here. I'm running into the bricks and I'm digging and You guys know what that's like, right? Now, both my kids come up. They obey immediately. They come, and you've been getting that chewing out, and your eyeballs are just like, and you know you didn't do anything, but you also know that if I say something, it's not going to help, right? You just know I'm in trouble for something I didn't do, and the best move for me is to let's let dad cool off. And when dad cools off, then I'll go, Dad, I love you. I didn't do it. Okay, that's what a wise child does. And this is what my children did. And I chewed them out. You sit over there. You sit over there. And I'll figure out how to beat you later when I'm not mad. I turn around. I go inside the house. And my beautiful bride is standing right there. And I look up and she goes, honey, I love you, but the moment I hear that but, I know I'm in trouble. I love you, but, and I'm like, oh, great. She says, there was a really big wind. It was kind of weird, and I don't know how it happened, but I was on the porch, and the wind just came around the house and blew them over. The bricks. Like a stack of heavy bricks. The wind. She's like, I was right there. They were over there playing in the sprinkler. They didn't do it. Well, I feel stupid. So now, as dad, that literally 30 seconds ago has to turn around, go back on the porch where my kids are still sitting there going, we're going to die. We're going to die. And we didn't even do anything. And we're going to die. I step out on the porch and I have to apologize. Now, in this story I'm telling you, I found out right away that I was wrong. Do moms and dads find out that they are wrong right away? No. Here's what happens. Here's what can happen. Dad chews you out. Mom chews you out. Sends you to your room. You get punished. Can't play video games. Can't do this. You get punished. And you're like, I didn't even do anything. And you go to school the next day. And something happens. You and your friends start talking. And somebody mentions something about their dad. And you go, oh, let me tell you about what my dad did. My dad is such an idiot. Hey, come on. Don't look at me that way. You've said it. Don't look at me. I was a kid too. I said these things, and it was wrong when I did it. You start speaking evil of your parents. Hey, when your authority is wrong, that does not give you the right to speak evil. I want to show you why this is dangerous. I want to give you an example from the scripture of why it is so dangerous to speak evil of your authorities. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now listen to this. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might. Angels are greater than we are. Angels have more strength, more power. Bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. An angel himself, who's in heaven, an angel that abides with the Lord, is not dumb enough to speak evil of somebody else, because they know God's not going to put up with that. But those that do, those that are willing, they're presumptuous, they're self-willed, those that are not afraid to speak evil of dignities or of people in authority, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Look at this. Sporting themselves, making it a game, making it fun. Hey, let's all laugh at the police officer. Make it fun. Look at this rude gesture I can make at this police officer. Isn't this hilarious? No. This is a road to destruction. Brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. God's given us a warning here. If you don't learn to be submissive with your tongue, then you're going to follow a path that's going to lead you to destruction. Because everywhere you go in your life, no matter how old you get, no matter what job you get, there's always going to be an authority to show respect to. Now, here's what we learned last night, okay? Let's apply what we learned last night to this right here. I'm talking about what you say about your authorities, your principal, your preacher, the police, your parents, the actions of your tongue, the words you say. Actions cannot produce virtues. So if you want to learn how to speak better of your parents, of your authorities, you need to come over here and you need to come to God and say, God, I'm having a problem with my tongue over there. God, would you help me to love my authorities? God, would you give me the virtue of submissiveness? Would you give me the virtues that I need? God, I need your help to do that better over there. Because when God starts teaching you and helping you to love your parents more, even when they mess up, to forgive your parents, even when they mess up, then you're going to find it a lot easier to speak good things about them.